right, yeah, diggity. Let's hope it's gonna work this time. But what do you do if at first you don't succeed? Try again, and that's goes along with the topic tonight. So if you are hearing me, thank you so much for being here. I am Christy Aphrodite. This is the Christy Aphrodite Show. And tonight, let's see, what is today? It's February 11, 2020. And first off, I want to apologize for being unreliable because I was supposed to be here last night. And I even said I was going to do a weekend show on Sunday, and I apologize. That I was unable to do that and have to reschedule. And the topic tonight is surviving and conquering homelessness. I was going to talk about my journey, how I got there, how I survived, and how I got out. So, of course, it's kind of appropriate that I'm going to have some kind of hiccup that's going to give me the opportunity to take my own advice and eat my own medicine, right? So, let me just tell you what's going on with my housing situation right now. And, so I mentioned last week that I'm in the process of buying a house, and we were supposed to close for the fourth time last week. And, you know, it's really, it's, anyone who knows me, like, how could we have expected anything different, right? Like, we thought we're going to go in, it's going to be all easy, and it was, because I didn't object to anything, I didn't challenge anything, everything was perfect, I knew that we were getting an amazing deal, just, and, yeah, so none of these mishaps were anything that we could have prevented, and I talked about them in a video I put up on my YouTube channel yesterday, and today that's at ChristyAphrodite.youtube.com. But basically, everything that could go wrong that we have no control over has. And so on Friday, I found out that, you know, the seller and their agent apologized. Sorry, we can't follow through, you know, better luck next time kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, so we really had no choice but to just kind of pull it right there. So, I'm seeing on the chat somebody's hearing background music. I wonder what kind of background music. Huh. What kind of background music? Oh! Holy crap! That was supposed to be on Emmanuel DJ. Got it. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. All right, so it's my third time pushing buttons. I'm learning. Got a ways to go. I'll make it. That's great. So I'll have to reset my playlist. Let me just push that out of here. Pause that. We're going to go back to Emmanuel. And then, yeah, whatever, I'll just reset the brakes and stuff later. So thank you for pointing that out. I am obviously going to still need a little help if I'm not coming through clear or whatever. Just let me know. That's a bummer, though, because I had the brakes all set up. I was so proud of myself because I'm learning, you know. And, training wheels are off, not just for me, by the way, for everyone. And we're going to get through it, just like everything else. But, okay, so Friday I found out that they weren't going to be able to keep up with their end of the bargain, so I kind of had to walk away. And, you know, I thought for a minute about just, you know, putting on a stiff upper lip and just going and, taking care of responsibilities and doing the show and not letting anyone down and, you know, all of that stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're going to get on the air and you're going to give advice and tell people to get the rest they need to go through the grieving process, to feel the pain, the trauma, and then I'm just going to button up my shirt and get out there and pretend that this isn't going to affect me, something that I've put so much effort in for over a year. But really, you know, this all didn't just happen. You know, it's a lifetime in the making. And then the opportunity presented itself like a year and a half ago. And, you know, I had to go through all these processes of how to figure out what to use the loan for. Do I get a house and then build a business? Oh, no, that's too scary, because then how am I going to pay for it, right? So I better invest it in a business, and then that'll give me the money to pay for a house. And then, like, several processes of those types of things being ripped out from under my feet, seemingly so. But then 6 months later, it's like, oh, my God, thank God that that didn't happen. And so that's kind of how I've had to deal with the house situation. And man, it's just, it's been a roller coaster. And I still don't know what's going to happen, because, so after we pulled it, I got on it, you know, I looked in other states, I got an agent, I found three houses. I'm like, if any of these are available, I'm making an offer right now. And I'll start driving. Just let me know. Well, fortunately, she was out of town, so I wasn't able to make the offer that day, which would have been yesterday. So we signed the papers to get the earnest money back yesterday, and I crap you not, right? After that, and of course it was like the end of business day, right? 5 o'clock. So after that, like an hour, hour and a half later, maybe even 2 hours later, I get an email from the realtor saying that the other side did get their loan money and that they are going to go to the bank and pay their part. And I'm just like, what? Stop messing with me! Like, what the heck? Oh my God! So, anyway, so I made that video last night, like, freaking teeter-totter. I have no idea what's up and how, if I'm ever even going to be able to even trust what happens next at this point. But, oh my gosh. Anyway, so, about the schedule and missing the show. So yeah, I had some kind of, you know, I felt like I was aborting another baby. You know, all of this work, designing the house, planning, the businesses I have set up, like everything that was riding on this. And so I had to feel the pain. And you know what? I cried, man, for like 2 days straight. But I also looked for other houses to move forward, because that's just what has to happen next. And yeah, so I guess where I'm at right now, I could technically get a call any minute and have to leave the state to go sign for my new house on the one that we've been working on this whole time. Or I could have to take off to go to another state to go inspect another one that I thought would be an all right choice. So as far as me having a reliable show schedule right this second that I can totally commit to, I mean, I mentioned this the first night, everything's up in the air. So my tentative schedule is Monday through Thursday, but obviously, the home stuff comes first. And, you know, we're February 2020. I left my house in December of 2013. That's the last time I've had a real kitchen, a bathtub, you know, my own place to call home. And so we're going to talk about that. It's crazy that this was the scheduled topic, you know, because I thought about these. I wrote these up last week, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to do or when I was going to do it, but this obviously is the topic to be discussed. And I also want to hear from you. And hopefully one of our friends who also went through homelessness while I was homeless is also going to call in, talk about his story and how he was able to overcome. But, you know, one thing I want to address is in our country, we have all these protections for every different type of person. Everyone. Except we have anti-discriminatory laws protecting certain groups of people. But there is one class of people that it's not only legal to harass, commit crimes against, it's actually encouraged. And there really are several classes of secondhand citizens, but until you actually live it and know, like when you don't have a bank account, when you don't have an income, when you don't have one single person that cares enough to put you up on their couch, when you don't have a family to go back to, when you don't have these safety mechanisms that most people have, it kind of changes things in a lot of ways. And it can either make you or break you. It can make you bring out the biggest, baddest, strongest warrior within yourself you never knew existed, or it can completely crush you. And it should. And it did for me over and over. And that's why I did that video recently called I'll Never Get Through This. Because there was a time, a very long time, that I thought I couldn't make it. And yeah, the odds are stacked against us, okay, whether you're homeless or not. But especially when you are homeless and everybody hates you, you're out to get everyone. Because it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, or anything. Once you're homeless, that one little word turns you into fair game. It's like you have this target on your back. Everybody looks at you as if you're a mentally ill, druggy thief out to rape their children. You're going to get them. Homeless people are blamed for all the problems in the country, really. And, you know, it's totally backwards. We're the result of it. And this epidemic is not going anywhere. It's going to get worse. More people are going into homelessness as prices continue to rise. And despite what people want to believe, now, if you're a city dweller and all you see are those people on the city asking you for stuff, I understand where your perception is coming from. I'm not speaking for all homeless people. Not all homeless people want to better themselves, okay? But not all homeless people are druggies out to get you. So we need to talk about this from a real perspective. And while I had done homeless documentaries before, I had spent time on Skid Row, I have been donating to homeless people in certain areas literally my entire life, back in elementary school, my Christmas money, couple hundred dollars and this and that. Let's go to Mexico where they're living in cardboard boxes or organize things with the church. Like there was always, I always knew there was something wrong, but I didn't know how bad it was until you truly get there. And when you're not there, you can, it's so easy to naively think that you can't get there. Your life is going good. You're healthy. You have a parent or a loved one or a cush job or you're living your dream or whatever. But the thing is, life happens and we need to be more compassionate to everyone. Give people a chance before you decide they're out to get you, right? Because it's only through the kindness of literal strangers that gave me the hope I needed to continue another day. Okay? And this help was very rarely financial. Very rarely. The most help was that somebody looked at me like I was human. when they asked how I was, they actually stuck around, even though they saw my eyes well up in tears. They actually wanted to hear it. There were multiple angels along the way, and speaking of angels, I spoke with one of them today, and this was from my Florida days, and you may have heard me discuss the angel that literally got me out of that hospital, jail, whatever thing, that they had cops from two counties chase me down for their $1,500 day federal funds. And let me tell you, those places, when you get there, if you don't have somebody vouch for you, you're gone forever. And that stuff's in mainstream media now. You thought I was crazy when I was telling you back then, but it's in frickin' mainstream media now. This man did not know me. He met me in the hospital. He knew what was going on when they came to frickin' hog tie me, okay? And I talked with him today, and he actually, he wants to come on the show. And we're going to talk about that whole period and the things that we went through. We'll go more in depth about that. I'm super excited about that. In fact, there's lots of pretty exciting stuff going on, so in that regard. So that show, due to his work schedule, we're going to have to obviously schedule it when I know where I'm going to be living, for one. So right now, everything has to be tentative until the house is done. But I'm pretty sure with his work schedule, we're going to schedule it on like a weekend afternoon type thing and put out plenty of advance notice and Q&A and all of that stuff. But it really is, he was one of the angels that saved my life. And if it wasn't for him, I definitely, without a doubt, would not be here today. So I'm super excited about that. but, okay, so now what I do want to make clear about my homelessness. When I left my house, I didn't know I was homeless, right? I didn't just, like, oh, okay, I have a house one day and then I'm homeless the next. So there were different levels and phases of it. In fact, I was homeless for at least a year before I knew I was even homeless, right? So I left Branson willingly. And then I was offered that job in the place that I had dreamt about and even wrote down. So I thought, okay, well, this must be it. I'm here for a reason, which I was. It definitely was not a pleasant reason at all, but regardless, it all worked out. So I went down there, and initially when I started my soul journey, my famous 30-day soul journey, this was already in March when I landed at this place. So I left December. So this is 4 months later. And things were already like nuts. I had to just kind of be I was at the mercy of everything else. Everything else that wanted to happen right in front of my face. So it was a very powerless time of my life. But at the same time, like, you can even look at a video I made during that time in February. I think it was right after my channel disappeared, and my Facebook and all of that, thanks to some former friends in alternative media. But that was terrible because that was my lifeline. I still had a flip phone. I wasn't, like, that was all I had to connect with anyone. I was trying to do my journey. My intention was to put to use the survival skills that I talked about on the show, right? Like, I already knew I could grow food. I already knew I could eat weeds. I knew I could make medicine, but I did not know that I could really survive. I didn't know that I could fish and gut them and chop out hearts of palm in the winter. I didn't know that I could build my own shelter and survive the snow. I didn't know. I mean, so let's look at things into perspective here. I've been very open about my past, my life, my I was, you know, coming from Princess Programming, MK Ultra background. So being a princess, you don't get your hands dirty, right? So I didn't know I could do things like change my oil or fix my air filter or gut a fish, right? Things like that. And, you know, but I wanted to. That was the whole desire. That was the whole point. Like, I wanted to feed myself. I wanted to know that I could take care of myself. I was tired of being dependent on everyone, not just, you know, government, whatever, but everyone. Even website help, okay? Like, I wanted to know that if I had to, that I would be able to take care of myself. Although, I still kind of had this plan that it was going to go really nice and fuzzy and full of rainbows and unicorns. And while there may have been rainbows and unicorns along the way, they certainly were delusions. But at the same time, were they? So what's crazy about this is I had this all written down. The places that, but I didn't know at the time. I never knew what the places were until I got there. And then I'd go back and read my dreams and I'm like, oh my God. So on first instinct, I'm like, wow, this is really cool. You know, like it's easy to read a map, right? If your dreams tell you this and then you go and get to those places and then you're like, oh wow, that's cool. Another piece of the puzzle. But then there's the dark side. Like, my dreams didn't tell me, you need to go here to get your soul ripped out and physically die and be shown that the power isn't going to be handed to you and that it might be a little more difficult than the frickin' new cage gurus you had on the show the last 10 years wanted people to believe. So, in that one video I was referencing, like, I had realized those things, and I talked about those things. Like, I knew the lessons I was learning and had to learn enough to even talk about it, but I still had to walk through it much, much darker than I expected. So, getting back to the point, like, I did not know I was homeless when I started off on this journey, okay? So, I end up in the campground, and you know, it was a state park. It was gorgeous. The Seven Sister Springs. I was teaching classes there. They told me I could sell my products there. And, you know, so I had a food cart. So all of these moves that I made, I actually thought that I was just going to pick up and then hook up again. And I'd start right back on the show. I'd pick up right back on the business. Like, I literally, in my feeble mind, thought it was going to be 30 days. And then, okay, so that came along 4 months later. And I'm like, all right, so that's it. So I went back to Branson. I got rid of most everything, including my garden. Like, people came from Michigan and other places. To buy my stuff and my soil and my plants and all of that. But yeah, I thought I was going to go back to Florida. I was going to hook up and do the show right there at the dock. My products were going to be in the store there, and I was running the food cart on the river and teaching classes in the community center. Like, how perfect is that, right? Ha ha! Dun dun dun! Well, as anybody going through a great transformation knows, that when you do decide to make this move, you might have a plan of what it's supposed to look like. But, yeah, nah, that's usually where you're going to end up in the wrong country, without any baggage, without access to your credit cards or cell phone, or locked up in some INS jail. You know, that's where all the crazy traumatic stuff happens. Well, I was super naive, so I thought I had this under control. I got an RV, I'm living there, I'm working there, and I have the spot to do all that. None of that happened. In the Everglades, right after I did that video, literally, right after, because that was in Georgia. Then I went from there to Savannah to go see that one guy and his very first magic show. And from Savannah, St. Augustine, and then St. Augustine to the Everglades. So that was literally 3 days later. I got bit head to toe from I don't know. I think at the time there were like 17 different types of mosquitoes, but who knows how many engineered crap. But yeah, so I was bit head to toe, swollen this, that. Then all of a sudden I started having these rashes and like totally exhausted, totally depressed. The rashes would not go away for anything, not with any of my remedies that used to help, right? And I was set up in a trailer eventually later. So, and even while I was camping, I was still juicing. I was juicing at the campgrounds. I was making my nut milk at the campgrounds. I was doing my best until I couldn't anymore. And then I was grateful to eat anything that I could eat. But I didn't know that I was homeless then. See, here's the thing. If you have a home and an RV, and you can get in your RV, but you still have a place to go back home, you're not homeless, right? But when the RV or the van or the trailer is all you have, and you have to have approval by somebody to park in some place, that, you know, you're homeless, man, period. And I didn't know it was like that. I mean, even trying to get a bank account or an ID down there to begin with, because it, you know, it's campground. Oh, well, you don't live in a campground, you know? So it started there. But even then, I still didn't really know I was homeless. So I have, this was in February, of course, because February, I usually die every freaking February. Oh my gosh. Except this one, of course, right? Yeah, okay. I guess it just got started, so we don't really know. But yeah, so I didn't know at the time how sick I was. And, you know, I built my gardens as soon as I got my RV set up. I had my job there at the campground, teaching the classes, building the gardens. And then things kind of got very, well, unsafe. And maybe I'll talk about that when I have the other guy from Florida join and share with the experience. But there were people along the way, and I'll just say it was very unsafe. And I've mentioned before, people came to kill me. Like, literally, I saw the dossier with my own eyes. And you know what? Since I said it, I might as well call him out, Duke and Sierra. Go ahead. I know you know, if you are listening, cool. Come bring it, okay? All right, I made it out of your stupid freaking games. And, you know, that's one thing for, like, especially TIs, people who are being targeted. And when they found out I was buying a house, they're like, oh my God, how are you doing that? You're going to be in one place and this and that. And look, being in a secure place with people you know is much safer, number one. Number two, I'm not going to let what other people may or may not do stop me from moving forward in my life. How safe is it living at the mercy of RV parks and campgrounds and things like that? Because once you are in that caste system, there's no getting out. Like, you know, and I even talked with my friend today, the angel who saved my life in Florida. And I discussed in a previous video, there was nothing about me for him to respect at the time, right? I was this damsel in distress in his eyes that he rescued. And so here I am, this crazy, sick person from a trailer in a campground with all these wild stories of being on the radio in 82 countries and curing gangrene and pancreatic cancer and, you know, stuff like that. They're like, yeah, all right. Yeah, whatever. So then I'm automatically more crazy. So you don't have job opportunities like that. You don't have, like, people run from you. They don't, you know, but they're limited by their level of awareness. And it's kind of funny. And, you know, a lot of them are like, oh, yeah, I guess she wasn't crazy. Okay. So, but yeah, getting back to like the van life and stuff, I came out and I did a video of how truly terrible it can be. And I was talking for the people who that's all they have to rely on. Need I remind you the 2 months I had to live in my storage unit because my van was broken down and working a minimum wage job, barely starting to walk again myself, okay? Still barely able... Dude. Like, I could have just sat on my butt and collected a disability paycheck, okay? But then where would that get me? I already knew that that wasn't going to pay rent. That wasn't going to get me out of homelessness. So why would I waste time bounding myself to their agreements, right, and having to stay in or near a city, which I'll talk about that more. I'm going to try to follow a train of thought here. But when it's all you have, the RV, the trailer, the van, the car, whatever, you're homeless, okay? So, and there's, it was very clear how people were treated. This was a state park. And you have the people with a two and up, 200,000 and up, four slide, diesels, you know, solar, this and that, big homes on wheels. And then you have families living in tents trying to be hidden in the back of the campground because it doesn't look good. And then you have the residents. And a lot of these residents worked. In fact, all of them worked. But they couldn't afford anything else. And, you know, even then, I still didn't, I didn't know I was homeless. So I escaped from there. I went to another place, and then that's when my brain totally blew up. I got bit by a brown recluse on the back of my neck. I was still suffering the poison from that, which was undiagnosed, so I didn't even know neuroinvasive West Nile viral encephalitis. I don't even know what that means. You know what I mean? So what I did know is that by the time I couldn't resist any longer and had to go to the hospital and was not allowed to be released and was in a so-called secured room, even though they let my stalker get in there, but they weren't listening to me because I was crazy, because I'm just some dumb homeless person who lives in a freaking RV, right? Oh my God, what drama. And yeah, so I'm so crazy and delusional, you know, we need to send cops from two different counties to go pull over all your friends looking for you so we can lock you up. Oh my God. Yeah, see, here's the thing. What people might not understand is that when you're homeless, everything changes. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD. It doesn't matter how many people you healed from cancer, gangrene, etc. You are a homeless, druggy piece of crap. And get the hell away from me before you steal what I worked so hard for. Let me tell you something. My homelessness went from Florida, okay, so the restaurant, and then I got the van. When I got the van, I had to go up to Minnesota for that. I didn't even know that I was going to be living in that. I was just making it comfortable in the back for the cross-country trip. I had a house I was moving into. I paid money to take U-Hauls to unload in the house and hire movers and then reload as I had to run to the next house with the same thing and the next one and the next one. And then there was like, oh, wait. Holy crap, I'm homeless. And why are all these people trying to take advantage of me and suck me dry of my skills and be like, oh, yeah, this homeless person's trying to take advantage of me. Wait, what? Did I? Whoa. Oh, okay. All right. At that point, you know, so from the Florida to Mount Shasta to Washington, like I got a job right away as a caretaker, but that was like a 2 week gig. And then I got this job in the restaurant, but then I don't know what happened and I have no evidence, but I know one moment I'm starting work the next day and we're texting and talking about it. And then when I showed up, he had no idea what I was doing there. And why I even thought I would be starting then. And that was kind of a big blow. Meanwhile, the house I was renting, which, you know, turns out later was a setup to begin with, are the ones that stole most of my stuff. All of my survival stuff. Jewelry, suits, business, knives, ammo, raft, like literally all survival stuff, guns, everything, gas masks. I mean, like everything that I had hoarded 10 or what year was that? That would have been in 15. So yeah, about 10 years, 9 years prior. You know, because the end of the world is coming. Huh, Alex? Oh, to 2006, the good old days. Just kidding. Okay, so that was kind of another big blow. And so then I found myself in the midst of, like, this good old boy network where I, you know, it was another kind of small town thing where the cop is brothers with the judge, is brothers with the prosecutor, is, yeah, so I had to leave. I had no choice but to leave. I could have stayed and fought it and been in a miserable situation, you know, and legally, because I was paid and all my stuff was there and I had bills in my name and all of that. But the bottom line is, like, why would you want to be somewhere where you're not wanted or where you're being abused? And I was definitely, like, it was not a healthy place. And I am affected by other people's controlling energies, and it cripples me. And that was obviously a very fragile time in my life. That was the last thing I needed. And I agreed to move into that house because I thought, like, I had gone through a few others with lures, like, oh, you can live here and, you know, but you have to do that, right? Well, this guy was 75 and he already had his balls chopped off. I forget what the surgery is called, but I'm like, yes, he's not going to want to do me. And sorry if I'm being crass, but how else do I say this? You know, so I felt safe. Like, I thought that that wouldn't happen until he got his penis pumped. And he needed somebody, oh my God, I'm talking about this. I'm on the radio and I'm talking about, okay, what the heck. So, it ended up being the same thing that I was running from, so I had no choice but to run. And the van was, you know, kind of comfortable. And, you know, I actually met somebody right away who gave me a little job. And, you know, it also, they saw the furniture I made and saw my talent. So they hired me in their interior decorating business. And there I was staging homes. And it wasn't easy, though. And I was also living in my car in Seattle and then going down to Olympia or Tacoma for the weekend because Seattle is just too much. But, yeah, wow, what a ride. And I convinced myself that I had to be there for work, so I understand why people do that, but it just got to the point where I knew I never had a chance, and my whole reason for being out here was to be in nature. So I had to make my way to nature. And there was a little hiccup along the way. I was lured to go back down south. It was back in 2015 in the winter when I was trying to set up homeless radio. And I naively thought that I could just talk about homelessness, homeless people, the issues, this and that on the air. And, you know, on the network I used to be on. But the reality of the situation is being in Seattle with being able to get Wi-Fi to broadcast the show in the same place that there's parking, in the same place that there's homeless people. Yeah, good luck. Like, you could literally start driving around 8 in the morning and you're not going to find that space. And it'll be 9 p.m. and you'll still be driving around. Like, you can find the homeless people and you can find the parking if you want to pay for it. And you can find the wireless. But all three together, it just didn't work. So I thought, somebody else who had me on their show said that they would like me to join their team. And they were going to help me get the homeless radio broadcast, blah, 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 safe place. So there I go again. I fell for another lure. And I'm telling you these things not because I'm blaming these other people. It's because the ultimate moral of the story is exactly what Chuck left off with on his show. were the ones that we're looking for, right? And I was still in that traumatic place of trying to give my power away, and I can't do this or that or whatever. So if you're there, like, don't feel bad about it. It's, like, totally normal. I know I'm not the only medicated slave. I know I'm not the only MK-altered princess, okay? We all, everyone in this country who has ever watched TV, who has ever voted, who has ever gone to school, who, you know, it's the MK-Ultra joke. We're all under the spell, okay, to varying degrees. It's not just those few people in Hollywood you need to watch out for. In fact, they're making fun of us. They're like, seriously? They still can't see this? And they're still looking to us for the answers? So, my homelessness and disabilities and lures and all of these things that happened along the way were the best things that could have ever happened to me, okay? All, even the most scary of situations, the stalkers, the being chased over the mountain, the cops, the... Dude, I ain't ever gonna lie about that, okay? I am never gonna get up on here and say, oh, it's easy, just go do it, oh, I'm some great expert, no. But we're all kind of our own expert as long as we are being true to ourselves, right? As long as we're listening to our own instinct, our own intuition, and believing in ourself, okay? So the problem before that, when we're medicated, when we're programmed under mind control, we can't think outside that box that society put there for us. So of course we don't believe in ourselves. We're told we're ugly since birth. We stink. Think about it. Every commercial, shave your hair, buy this deodorant, cut your hair, color your hair, take your, you know, put on this makeup, buy these clothes, get this corset, wear these heels. Oh yeah, you need nylons too because, you know, God totally screwed up, all right? But you suck. Don't worry about it. We got the products here for you, okay? Like, so whether you were born in an underground base or not, you were still programmed by that same self-hate beast, okay? So, again, some degrees more than others. And for me, although I thought I wanted a rescue, a white knight, you know, and shining armor and all of this stuff that we're programmed to think, like, eventually, I mean, I even knew then. Look at that video I made in 2014, February. I'm like, when you try to rescue me, you make it more hard. You're turning me into a victim, and you're telling me that I don't have the power to do it myself. Like, I figured that out back then. But that, I still didn't think I was going to go through what I had to. But I'm super thankful I did. So, homelessness. It happens different for everyone. For me, it was gradual. For me, I didn't even know that I was homeless, as I stated. Like, it was just this, I thought I was going to live in an RV in a state park and teach my classes and, yeah. But then you end up in a hospital for 8 days, 10 days, drugged up, you get out, you don't know your neighbor's names, you don't know, the only people's names you know are the people that were in touch with you while you were in the hospital, okay? Yeah, and that wasn't very many. So another beautiful blessing of this is it taught me who's real. It told me who's who. And, you know, I may have mentioned on the first night of the show when somebody asked me about guests and my old Truth Brigade and Soul Journeys guests, that I would be shocked if more than three, if I ever invited or had on three. And, you know, I can't think of every guest I ever had, but I'm just saying, none of them were there. Nobody I promoted. Nobody I sold their books. And let me tell you something. I never got, like, affiliate, like, you know, where people get paid for promoting things. product or anything like that. I promoted people because I genuinely believed in them. I believed in what they had. I believed in the programming that I was fed, that I fell for, okay, because I was still a program slave myself, trying to break out. But not one of them, nobody that I helped heal for free, nobody that I had ever fed or stayed the night in the hospital with or anything, nobody cared. So I really got to see who was who. And worse than that, somebody just brought up alternative media on the text chat. And by the way, if you want to join us, that's over at ChristyAphrodite.com. Click on listen and chat. And I guess, let me find the caller number. It is, 720-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. And again, I'm not telling you this because, like, poor me or anything. I am super stoked that, you know, I once was blind and now I can see. So, and there, I have to admit, there were people within the midst I had doubts about, and they showed me again that my intuition was right and to never not trust it. So at that point, I had no choice, right? Doctors weren't helping me. People weren't helping me. Family went, like, I had nothing else to rely on but me. And even though that's the case, I can't take full credit, okay? Because even though we are nature, nature healed me. Like, I can't take the glory that, oh, I'm so great, I healed myself, you know, and I did because I did the work, but I didn't do it by myself, okay? There is much more going on in this world. And when I get back to, or getting back to what I was saying about the people that helped me, the strangers that helped me, who were very rarely financial, it was that smile. It was that shower. It was that knowing that I'm not invisible, that there is actually at least one person out there that actually cares about me and sees me as a human. The people that smiled or the people that hugged me. That's what helped me more than anything. Okay? So I would not know who's who if I didn't know who isn't, right? If I did not go through this, I would have still been wondering, is my intuition delusion, right? Now I know. And that can't ever be taken away from me. Yeah. So everybody's homelessness is different, right? And what I want more than anything is for people to know that there is a way out, okay? It's not fun. It's not easy. Everybody's going to turn their back on you, okay? Yeah, it sucks. But what do? Like, it's your warrior training. Like, literally, this is make it or break it time. So you can choose to be, you know, discover who you are, right? Just look at it for the lesson it is. And no matter what your belief system is, pretty much everybody believes that we're here for a reason, right? And I think most people believe in some form of eternal life or life after death, or I think in some way or form, most people believe that there is something more. So knowing that, like, in fact, that reminds me, like, when I escaped from the hospital in Santa Clara and went through that drama, I got to watch this movie at my friend's house called Divergent. And they told me before, they're like, oh, this movie's about you. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Anyways, so I totally loved it and fell for it. But the one of the things that really helped me through homelessness and getting through all of these obstacles was that time in the movie where she says, this isn't real. This isn't real. So, you know, while you're in the moment and you're being completely traumatized and stuff, you know, it's hard to always stay in that Zen zone, right? But when there's a glimmer of being able to think for myself, then I would remind myself, this isn't real. Just go for it. It, you know, I put myself like back in game day when I was winning tournaments and, you know, making it in sports museum and breaking all these records. Like, I didn't win every game. It wasn't easy. My coaches yelled at me. Everybody hated me because they knew I was going to kick their ass. And so it was always that way. So this was just a step above high school, right? So same principles, just different location. And so I looked at it as an adventure. Like, okay, well, let's see if I can make it. I mean, I had nothing better to do anyways, right? Like, what else am I going to do? Well, let's see if I can build a hay bale tent dome. And by the way, for those of you who do want to learn and see more of that, that's where I came up with my hashtags. So Fro died here, and that's P-H-R-O, short for Aphrodite. Thank you, Casey. Fro died here, hashtag. And then the other hashtags, like when I was building the tent, and that was pimp my tent. So there's videos or Instagram or things like that. And then in the two vans I lived in, the hashtag for those were magical hoopty. And it's just a thing. We rode hoopties back in the 80s down at the border in San Diego. I don't know, with my posse on Broadway. So I don't know what y'all were doing, but I had the home speakers in the trunk. So that was my hoopty. Boom, boom. All right. With that being said, I'm going to take a little break here. And again, if you do have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call. 720-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. And I love that number. I don't even know how I randomly got assigned this super cool number, but I love it. So, hey, we'll be back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
First time I heard it, such a long time ago. Just brought back memories, most of us know. Misty old schoolyard, fields in the fall. The teacher was crazy out chasing a dog. But that's cool, my old school. We crossed the playground and walked through the door. You still smell that canvas thing laid on the floor. You swing up and down on a long piece of rope and monkey around like some kind of dope. But that's cool, my old school. Ah, Sergeant Pepper played on my radio. Sergeant Pepper played on my radio. Somebody showed us how to get coke for free. You all pull together and count one, two, three. We upset the teacher out there in France. No one saw nothing, sir, that was the stance. But that's cool, my old school. No good with numbers. seemed so touchy. It smelled kind of nice. Then came the dinner.
Economic crises, stock market crash, budget cuts, raising unemployment, unstable world conditions, the cost of insurance, electricity, petroleum, and taxes of all kinds, we regret to advise you that the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. We apologize for the inconvenience. We now return you to the special broadcast.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market, WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
A reminder that this is the Voice of America broadcasting worldwide.
The age of transistors.
Warning.
Uncle, the podcast.
The Ocelli Effect.
It's the Aphrodite.
Really.
Morgan's Policy Radio with Pierce Redman.
Ocelli.com.
I look up, I look down, I look all around this town. I look left, I look right. It's like some fairy tale tonight. It's a one in a million.
All right, welcome back. Sorry about the break little hiccup thing. So I had the playlist all set up and I scoot up, but it's my third show. I just learning to push the buttons. I'm really good at pushing other people's buttons, just maybe not so good myself. So I'm actually just going to pause that there and then I'll just let the others play for the next one, because I just don't want to mess with it while I'm trying to talk. Okay, I still hear that. Is it still playing? No, it's not. Okay, so welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us here tonight, Chris the Aphrodite Show, on the Ocelli Radio Network. Ocelli.com is the website, and check out all the other great shows. Chuck, of course, is right before me. That is, oh, let me get the times down. I'm on Pacific time. So wait. So what am I? I don't even know. But 7 to 9, so he's 5 to 7 Pacific. Okay, so that's 8 to 10. I know the network goes on Eastern, so I'm going to have to practice that. So he's 8 to 10 Eastern time, Monday through Friday, and I am 10 to midnight, Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday. And then Aaron and Uncle are on Friday night. And check the website, though. It's ocelli.com. And, oh, man, I got a sweet email that one of my listeners became a Patreon or patron, or I'm not really sure how all that works, of the network. So I just want to thank you for that. Shout out to new patrons of the network, because we would not be here if it wasn't for you. All right. And, so we're talking about surviving and conquering homelessness. And it does, oh, yeah, I see a 408. So that looks like it is our friend, Casey, but let me make sure we're going to bring him on. Let's see. How you doing tonight, Case?
Good. Having me on. I appreciate it.
Aww.
Great show thus far. I was there for some of that, so I can vouch for that first hour for sure.
Yeah. It's so, case yeah. Space. Okay, so before we get too far into conversation, I just want to make sure on the chat that you're coming through because last week, I guess they were saying that the cell phone calls were overmodulated.
Okay.
All right. So go ahead and just let us know in the chat if he's coming out all right or if we need to do some adjusting. One thing I did find out last week as far as my side of the adjusting, that it doesn't do much. So if we knew, okay, sounds good. It's all good. All right. So everyone says it's all good. What up, Case?
Cool. What's up, homie?
Yo, diggity. All right. Well, I mentioned earlier that Casey might be joining us tonight, despite his nasal drip or whatever he's got going on. But
not what you all think. So there.
So, and we discussed last week that he was homeless as well, like almost the same time, like we both got a job, like almost at the same time. So again, another reason why everybody needs to understand astrology and the transits, and we'll get into that, another show. But, so I didn't like finish my whole journey, but I don't know if it's really all that relevant because, I mean, we're here now, and truth is, most of this journey is documented on my YouTube channel. So there's the Pimp My Tent series, there's the Magical Hoopty series, there's, you know, the Girl in Tent playlist. Like, it should be separated pretty well in relevant playlists on my channel, from even building the tent structure, which was an amazing, but again, hard experience. But yeah, I want to, you know, I haven't really talked about survival during homelessness and ways of getting out. So if nobody's running the show after us, then we can just go later so that we can have time to talk about everything. But I think it would be neat before we get into that is to also kind of talk about your journey. What happened? How did you end up homeless? And, you know, some of the things that you learned along the way, like, did you even know you were going to be homeless? Or was it like me? You had to be homeless a couple years and get your ass kicked before you finally figured it out or how you dealt with it. So, yeah. Would you mind sharing some of your journey and how you became homeless before we move forward?
Yeah, no problem. First of all, I mean, I be a people define it differently, and I noticed when you were telling your story, you know, you kind of reminded me that you didn't feel like you were homeless. See, for me, it was a little opposite because I had been about 25 years ago. That was long past, and I'm way past all that part. But when I knew, it was around 2014. I'm living in Mesa, Arizona, and Christie's can vouch for this. I essentially was taking care of my dad, and while that was going on, and he was on the verge of dying, we just didn't know when, and I knew it was coming, you know, so the seed was already planted. And so when January of 2015, my dad passed, and, I essentially had nowhere to go. In my case, the way I perceive it is, when my dad was, on life support, and it was day three of his life support, and a friend of mine who I was in recovery with, and my friend Greg and his daughter Mindy, who calls me her Uncle Casey, while that was going on, and I was, pretty hectic, pretty frantic about what was going to come after. And so essentially, she called me and basically said, Uncle Casey, when this ends, we're going to get you out of Arizona, come back to California to go to, Cottonwood, which is the north part of California. So when I made my journey there in March of 2015, I think, Christy, you, dear, were going through your stuff, I think, in Florida. And so I stayed at my friend's, who was, he was dying too. And so I stayed there for about 5 to 6 months. In that time I did see Christy, and we had a fun trip to Mount Shasta and, that for a week. And for the most part, it was a good time. And then when I kind of knew, this being in that area wasn't going to be for me, I kind of went for what, I knew what I was walking into when I came to San Jose. And so essentially, my friend Dave and then my friend knew I can get on the luxurious couch tour.
Right.
That's what I refer to it as.
You did have a luxurious couch tour. But, Casey, you kind of had a thing like me too. Like you, your dad died, then you had to go, and then you went to your friend, and then your friend died, and then, you were kind of left stranded and abandoned, like me too, just in different, so those were before San Jose, even.
That's true. I was essentially on the luxurious couch tour for about a year and 3 months. So, I mean, thank God I had enough game and I had enough friends that cared enough about me to try to get over the issues of Arizona, which, was pretty, pretty daunting in itself.
Casey's got
when
game.
I literally, huh?
Sorry, I said, Casey's got game.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a decent amount of game. I think my dad, when he passed, he gave me some of it, so, which was cool. And, so when I eventually, in November of 2016, I literally had to go to a shelter. I don't have a car, I can't drive with my headache, and all that, because if I have a, pass out behind the wheel, that's not a good thing. So, I eventually went to a shelter called Life Moves at Montgomery Street Inn in the middle of November. And, at the time my thinking was, I got these health issues. And so when I first met my case manager, Stephanie, she basically said, this is a safe space. And I chuckled for a second. And so, she basically told me, here's the deal. We'll keep you here at Montgomery Street for a few, for a couple months. We'll send you to another shelter, which was a mental health shelter, for 3 months. and then go back to Montgomery Street after that. So the long and the short of that was 8 months total. And on the last month, when I went, made my second trip to Montgomery Street, my case manager pulled me aside. You know, you have to meet with them once a week and, you know, see, you know, how your progress is or whatever. He basically told me, you know, Casey, if, how would you like to work part-time in a women's shelter? And, you know, we can keep you housed. And I didn't know what that meant. And so at the time, my mind said no, but my mouth spewed out yes. So
Casey and a bunch of women.
It wasn't me talking, because I remember that very vividly. You know, I had seen I had to go through the rigmarole of, you know, talking to a counselor or a therapist, and they were the therapists in the shelters are generally, new people that got out of college and they need to get hours. So, you know, I played the game and it did help. You know, there was some, you know, I did get some help with that, which was cool. So when my out date was coming up and they, you know, had told me they offered me, you know, to go work at a women's shelter. Oh, yay, fun, but okay, we'll just go through this deal. Well, it eventually turned into, well, basically the number two in charge of Life Moves, Dr. Brian Greenberg, and I got interviewed by him, and, you know, he probably thought I was a train wreck or, you know, whatever, and that was fine, but he still, you know, he okayed me to run a house. And then I got interviewed again by a program director and a case manager. And they said, okay, we'll have you go to a, it wasn't going to be a women's shelter. It was going to be a shelter for displaced victims, you know, due to a disaster like or flooding or something like that. And so I got the job there and, you know, they just left me basically to kind of just win. So I stayed at that shelter, you know, worked at that shelter, and they, you know, it was really cool. You know, it was a nice place. And, you know, and I, for 6 months, I stayed there and, you know, took in families of disasters and stuff like that. And you know, in many ways, I kind of found my soul there, and I found my soul at the mental health shelter, because, you know, the one thing that helped me, I think that helped me get that gig, is I never forgot, I mostly never forgot behind the desk, the people we were dealing with, or I was dealing with, they were two paychecks away from being where I'm at. And I never forgot that.
Right.
You know, I towed the line, and, you know, there were some issues, but, you know, nothing I couldn't deal with, you know. So eventually what happened was the fire shelter was going to go away, and they were going to change it into an LGBT shelter. And at Life Moves, my understanding is it's the second LGBT shelter for best, maybe in America or something like that. I'm not exactly sure of the number on that. And knowing me, knowing my snarky mouth, I was like, I don't know if I can do that. So then they offered me another job. Yeah, I'm just being real, you know. I may say something that'll offend somebody. You got to remember, I live in California.
But you had sensitivita training. Like,
Yeah. So they offered me a gig called Stevens House, which I'm still at, and I've been here a couple years. And so I'm the house manager. They pay me to live here. And, you know, we take in clients from, you know, the shelters I was at. And, you know, we started a new program, maybe 9 months ago called Safe Parking. And so what Safe Parking is there's three parks or community centers within San Jose, and they have case management and they can park their car. You know, it's basically a community center slash park.
Mm-hmm.
And so Life Moves, you know, manages that part of it. And so what I'm doing now is, you know, like I said, running a house, you know, in the heart of, you know, next door to San Jose State. And, you know, basically, you know, within the shelter system, you know, I think you alluded to that, you know, not everyone's a druggie, not everybody's, you know, got mental health problems. You know, there are some that don't, you know, and I recently saw a study that, you know, maybe 70% of people homeless in America, you know, they're not on drugs, they're not, right. you know, screw-ups or whatever you want to call it.
Right. There's so way more drugs within the house full community. Yeah. That's my experience. Like, they're, yeah.
So the longer than the short of it, you know, you certainly see all kinds that are going through the system, and, you know, I'm sort of a system guy. I've been through it before in other areas that I won't get into. So, you know, how it's going today, it's going okay. It's, you know, I run a house that can house 8 clients, and at the moment I have 4 clients, so it's nice and mellow at the house for the most part, and that's what I'm doing today. So, you know, they eventually, you know, like I said, they hired me. You know, they hire from within, even in the shelters at Life Moves.
LifeMoves.org. When they can.
And that's basically what's going on.
When they can. I mean, they don't just hire anyone that goes through there.
No.
No. What I really love about your story, and so, okay, I kind of knew my purpose before, but I had no belief in myself, so I had to go through my journey to end up who I was. You, Casey, didn't actually know who you were or what your purpose was. And so you had to go through your homelessness to find out. And you ended up exactly where I know 10 years ago. I'm like, Casey, why aren't you doing this? You're such, you know, and it's amazing how it happened, because I mean, you, like, it's such a common thing when we say, oh, you should be doing this. And it's like, yeah, but I can't afford school, or I can't afford this or that, or I'm taking care of my dad or whoever, right? There's all these reasons why we can't do things. And whether you knew that it was your purpose to be an angel to help these other people, which I know you are in ways that nobody else can, it's just so beautiful to me. I mean, yeah, it sucks to have to go through that experience of nobody caring, losing your, you know, what you thought were your best friends and things like that. That's not easy. And, you know, the deaths of your family and close friends as well, and everything else going on. But it's, to me, it's so beautiful and amazing that that's where we find ourselves. And getting back to what I stated in the beginning, it'll make you or it'll break you. And I am pretty positive in both our cases that it made us. And it just tickles me so much to see you doing the things that I'm like, Casey, you need to be a counselor. You need to work with homeless people. You need to, you know, drug addictions and things like that. And there you're doing it without the school, without the licenses, without the normal route that other people go through. But you have the real, direct, firsthand experience. So who can help other people in that situation better than people who have gone through it?
Exactly. As you're saying this, I was reminded of a show you did with Tobias, you know, years ago. He essentially said, you know, when, you know, we don't like the system for various reasons, he kind of put it in, you know, kind of reminded me, you know, maybe within the system, you know, there's where change can happen. And I, in many ways, I've seen that, you know, I've seen that in the hospital system to some degree, although I don't go unless it's an emergency.
But, we had some fun We had some fun hospital experiences.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know, there is a sea change to some degree. You know, I can say that unequivocally that is true. I mean, here's an example. I mean, you know, I could put lavender oil on the budget because I know when lavender oil is spewed around in the house, it'll calm people down sometimes. And, you know, I'll use any natural means to do that if I need to, whether it comes out of my pocket or it comes out of their pocket. It's fine. It's not a big deal. So, you know, I do what I can with what tools I do have. You know, not everybody loves me, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, I look at it, you know, I told a client today, I was like, you know, I know I'm not the best house manager, but I know I'm not the worst. So, you know, eventually what should happen is, you know, when you have the opportunity to get, to move to a better situation, in my house, it's a 6-month deal. And as long as you're trying to do what you can to improve your situation to find permanent housing, you know, we can bend the rules a little bit. Or, you know, it depends on the person. As long as you, like I say, act right, that helps.
Bend the rules. So, I should talk about that. Because, Casey, in your experience and in your shelter, which I've actually been to, maybe not the one you're at right now, right, but the one before.
Yeah.
And I know how things are when you're there, but, you know, I think we should also talk about the truth of the shelter system on other levels, that not all homeless people are the same, not all homeless shelters are the same, and why, like in my case, when people would tell me to go to a shelter, I was just like, okay, can I shove this up your nostril right now? They're not always as safe and cush and loving as what Casey has there. And they all have rules, but in some cases, like one I have firsthand experience with, like you literally, no drugs, no alcohol, curfew, this, that, like the normal stuff, everybody signs it, but it's the people making you sign the stuff that are asking you if you want a ride to go get drugs. And then, you know, they're ended up screwing them all, you know, dude, it was insane.
Yeah.
It was just really shocking. I stayed there 3 days and I'm like, I'm going back to my van. Like, I let people convince me that, you know, well, I'll just try it, that'll be better, but I couldn't. And there really was no actual help. Like, they send you to the same phone numbers or places that, nice spit there, Case. I'm sure everyone's appreciating that. But, so they're not always, you know, and in other cases, you have to give up all your stuff, or they hold it for you. Or, and here's another one, another dark side, is like, Casey, you and I knew someone. We were very dear friends with somebody who worked in shelters, who we know for a fact would take his anger out and lie about some of these women to get kicked out, to, you know. So I think I am so glad that you ended up in a good one, in the right place, and that it was so comfortable for you and the people that you have been able to touch in these multiple houses since then. Okay. But I also, you know, we should tell the truth that they're not all that way. And a lot of people, you know, you can get, so you have to be mindful. And so I want to talk about what's different from your shelter. Like you mentioned a name earlier, Greenberg, I think. And isn't he some, like, famous guy that's, like, on the news, and I think I've seen a news clip or something of him before.
Oh, yes, Dr. Greenberg, he's a psychologist, and, you know, he, you know, I think it was on the BBC about a year and a half ago, and they were talking about the homelessness in Silicon Valley, and he spoke to the BBC about it. You know, Stanford, in the Stanford area, Palo Alto, there were a lot of RVs being parked, you know, parked, and there's people living in their cars. And so, you know, the thing is, you know, there is, you know, that type of help. And, you know, at any one time within Life Moves, I don't know the exact number. I believe it's grown. But we, at any time, could have between 700 or 800 people within the Life Moves system. And so, you know, and you know, and that will, you know, it's putting at least a little dent in the problem. And you alluded to earlier that, you know, this problem's going to get worse, and I believe that too. You know, and we know the reason why. You know, yeah. Generally it's, you know, the financial system, or in the Bay Area's case, or California's case, you know, you got Google, Facebook, you know, all the tech companies, and any time a tech company or a company moves in an area, your rent's going to go up.
And not just that,
the market.
They also
does that.
Yeah, not just that, they use all their tech to test out on the population there, knowingly and unknowingly, and I know that that's going on here in Seattle. With Amazon and other, there's been whistleblowers that have come out and, you know, they're like, it's straight out of a sci-fi movie. I didn't know that we were using this against people. But anyways, so I want to learn more about your shelter system. And again, they're not all the same. So what makes yours so different? I don't know all the specifics, but aren't there like 16 or like quite a bit, like they don't they have beds everywhere?
Yeah, last count, and I could be wrong about this, but there, you know, we do Santa Clara County, and the county above that is San Mateo County, which is essentially, you know, the tech area is in San Mateo and Santa Clara County. So, you know, we have a shelter called the Villa, and that's for families that have been displaced for a myriad of reasons. And in my case, Stephen's house, well, it's a transitional house. It's not a shelter. And so that's for people that come out of the shelters that, you know, that could use a little help, you know, to advance forward to find permanent housing. And, you know, there's, you know, I could talk about the shelters. I went through Montgomery Street as a men's shelter, you know, mental health, you know, with a few people that'll come off the streets, and it's, it, you know, that's that shelter. And then Julian Street, the mental health one, it's a co-ed shelter. It'll house veterans, you know, people off the street, you know, with mental problems or mental issues or whatever. And so that's what we generally deal with. And like I said, there's a place called Safe Parking. So when the shelters are full and people are living in their cars, they can go to the community centers. There's three, Seven Trees, Roosevelt, and I can't remember the other one. And they have those. And then, like, there's a place I've visited about 2 or 3 months ago called the Vendome, and that's in San Mateo, and that's for people that are, you know, sick and on their, you know, have some serious physical problems, or so I think they hold 20 people there. So, you know, the homeless thing is very vast in the issues that are being dealt with. You have, you know, people that, well, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to kind of go off topic. You know, I take a lot of lifts, you know, to get around. If I'm, you know, kind of run down, I'll take a lift. And, you know, a perfect example is one night I was leaving my friend's house, and I got picked up from my friend Ed's, and he brought me back to my house. And there were two ladies in the back seat. There was a lady driving, and the lady that was driving dropped off the two ladies that were going by a gas station, and while the conversation was basically saying, yeah, we're out in the street and I got to go get to my tent or my bush or whatever, you know, and you know, that's one example. And so when the lady dropped the two off, and then the lady driving told me, you know, hey, by the way, I'm homeless too. So, and her story was essentially, that her family, you know, they're living in a motel, but, you know, technically they're not homeless, but, you know, it's gotten to the point where,
still homeless.
You know, your Lyft driver may be homeless. Your Lyft driver may be homeless.
Yeah.
And another example.
Yeah.
Okay.
But living in a hotel when you're day to day, week to week, month to month, that's still homeless. Sorry. It's not a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, you're surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I remember taking a lift from my house to go to another shelter to do an interview, and the guy who was driving was a Google executive. Just kind of did it on the side, you know. So the point with that is, I believe, you know, the numbers may have grown, but, you know, even in the country, 60 to 65, maybe 70% are two paychecks away from being here.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
And there's not a lot of people that care.
They're
more worried about what's going on in some other country, or who voted for this other puppet, or what's happening in Super Bowl halftime, or what team is better than some other team. Like, you know, and I think that's really sad, because really an entire class of people, like an economic cast of people, are allowed to legally be discriminated against. You know, things are getting worse, and thank you for what you're doing, and not just for your job, because the thing is, you were doing your job before you were getting paid for it. You know, that's the thing. It was always you. You're a natural counselor. You know, I've already said all that. So, yeah, it's, you were doing it already before, but I'm pleased to see you in your position and also be able to feed yourself. And that's kind of, you know, we were kind of in the same thing when we went through that struggle, because, you know, I wasn't valuing myself. And even though I was doing the same things on a different level, you know, I wasn't sure of my worth. And yeah, so it's nice that we're both kind of getting paid to do what we love to do, because really that's the only thing that matters, is you do what you love to do no matter what. And if you can find a way to also be able to feed yourself, then that's even better. And unfortunately, some of us don't think about the, oh crap, how am I going to feed myself thing? You know, because you're thinking about other people first. So it's just been beautiful to see you land on your feet. And again, I want to thank you for your service. Like, this is an actual true service that you're providing. Like, even as somebody in the shelter, you were still basically doing this job and then some. I know for a fact that you were an angel, and still are, to many people that you met along the way. And of course, I've been there and seen, you know, what you do for people and how they love you. And it is a sacrifice. It is a service. Because homeless lives matter.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I think you said you had your friend from Florida going to call, but I just want to lastly say, you know, I want to thank the Chads, the Mark Sabins, the, you know, the Stephanies, the Jasmines, the Reinas, the you know, the Mindys, the Gregs, the Heavies, the you, and countless others that helped me in this endeavor. And I'm eternally grateful to all of them. And, you know, to all of you in it, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, and I'm blessed. You know, it could have been very ugly. I wasn't in a good space. I mean, I didn't do, you know, you're better at doing videos of your journey as opposed to me. I'm a little, I kind of keep, try to keep things close to the vest, which is good, bad, and indifferent, but it's okay. You know, it's okay.
And you have.
I know our paths are a little different, but that's okay.
Well, they really weren't. I mean, you were sick, I was sick. You were suicidal, I was suicidal. You were homeless, I was homeless. You were trying, I was trying. You know, it's the same thing. It's different locations, it's different characters.
Yeah.
But it's all the same struggle, really, for,
yeah,
for life, for survival, for love, for being seen, for being heard. And you know, Casey, like, your own family turn their back on you. Like, it's not an easy path.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that about Sean at the end of the day. I can't, but the others, they're kind of going through their own stuff in a deeper hole than I was in.
Well, I'm not mentioning any names, and
yeah,
I'm not saying any names,
yeah,
but you were not allowed,
yeah,
in certain people's homes while you were homeless, for the children. Okay,
yeah,
so
but at the end of the day, it's like I said, it's the Eds, the Gregs, the Mindys,
right,
the Heavies, you know, that were there when it mattered. And,
right,
and there's, you know, others, but those were the main ones that, you know, that I'm eternally grateful for. And, you know, and I lost a couple of them in that process that helped me. And,
right,
you know, I can't disappoint them because they're gone, but I think of them daily and, you know,
right,
thank them.
See, you
know,
too. You lost people close to you, same time period. Me too. Hello, Arrow, Russ,
yeah,
my dog, two kitties, babies, you know,
yeah,
like, Arrow, hello, yeah, Russ. So it was the same. It was different. But really, at the end of the day, it's, you know, I brought up earlier, when you're homeless, everything changes. It doesn't matter who you were yesterday. Once you're homeless, you're not allowed in your family's house for holiday dinner. And
yeah,
that's something that I won't ever forget. I know who was there. I have done everything I can to thank everybody who was there. Even if, you know, again, most of the help, or when I refer to people being there, it wasn't financial. Sometimes it was. Sometimes it was only $5.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that was what they had. And then sometimes, like when I was living in the storage unit and the $1,950 van bill on minimum wage part-time, like that took a minute to save up to. And I was like, I can't even remember today if it was 200 shy or 400 shy. But I woke up one morning, and I'll be damned, that 200 or 400, somebody who I wasn't even hardly even talking to, they just said spirit led and that they felt they had to do that. And I'm like, dude, that was exactly what I needed. And so sometimes it was, but not often. It was, you know what I appreciated? People that would allow me in their home to take a shower so I can go to work. Because I even did a video about,
yep,
how tough it was living off-grid or even in the van where I was in a safe place,
mm-hmm,
and driving an hour north to, or 45 minutes north to take a shower and then 45 minutes to an hour south to get to work, you know, and just it carrying your gas, you know, propane, batteries, trying to get them charged, your sewage, your laundry, clean and dirty, your trash, you know, with you at all times. I mean, it teaches you a lot of skills, and it gives you a lot of appreciation for a lot of things. It also,
absolutely,
you know, I mean, look at,
oh yeah,
where I live now. I mean, I was so grateful. It was like the best thing ever. But 20 years ago, if you'd have said, oh, you have to live like this, I'd be like, whatever. I'm a princess, don't you know?
I'm about something. I'm about something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes things happen. Sometimes your brain blows up. Sometimes you have a stroke. Sometimes, you know, we're not. And that's one thing I learned, like, in the rest areas. I used to sleep in the rest areas on the freeways, but never the same one. And so I guess if we want to talk about, like, advice for making it, like, number one rule is let as little people know as possible. Like, do not let people know you're homeless, because there go your job opportunities. Dude, there were times, there was a night I was, oh my gosh. Okay. Hanging out with my other homeless friend. We're talking with people. These are the streets that I used to go and feed people. Okay. Even while homeless. So, and they loved my food, right? So then we hang out with this, with these chicks and this dude, and they're like, oh, you're so great. You should come over for dinner with us tonight and blah, blah, blah. And then they said, where do you live? And one of us said, oh, I think it was her really that said, well, I'm homeless. So next thing you know, they're pulling each other away, and our invitation, we never saw them again, period. So not only that, you know, your family, your would-be friends or acquaintances, people on the streets, job prospects. My one friend that I felt, you know, we hung out a lot, and I felt that I wanted to do everything I could to help her get a job. It was really hard for her because not only was she a homeless female living in a car, she had the wrong color skin for the area she was homeless in. So she would get these jobs, she would apply, and then she would show up, and then they all of a sudden didn't have a job for her. So, anyways, fortunately, when she did get that job, you know, we went and celebrated, and that's, I was gonna buy her a banana split from Denny's, and that's when we got the video. Oh my god. That was crazy, Denny's fight video. Oh, that's funny. On my YouTube channel too, but that was kinda random, but. You know, people are up against a lot that they don't think about. Like, I did some videos called Homeless People Poop Too. Because, you know, I'm tired of the hate. Like, you guys are knocking your neighbors over, okay, to wait in line and go to Walmart or wherever and get your stupid PlayStation or whatever, be the first person to get it, or your big screen TV or whatever it is. You're spitting on these homeless people, you're not allowing them a place to go to the bathroom, and then you complain when an alley smells like urine. Where, what do you want them to do? You don't let that, even with this one guy that I hung out with and I talked about in a video, he was also homeless. He was a vet. He was the one person that gave me a pair of gloves. None of the people on Facebook saying, hey, I want to help. Can I send you? They didn't fall through. I mean, they didn't follow through. They, you know, it was a homeless person. They gave me gloves. But anyways, he was a vet, a disabled vet. And then he went into a coffee shop at the college that he's a student of while homeless, carrying a backpack. Again, wrong color skin. Cops that were just there drinking coffee were watching him, asked him to leave. He waited for his coffee. He went outside, and on the place where you have, like, bulletin papers and flyers and stuff, there was one with a black man, like, literally hanging. So he tore off that paper, and he was charged with a hate crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in good old Olympia, Washington, by the way, 2015. You know, it was crazy. The rest areas were like 60% full with homeless people. Walmarts, they're not even letting you park at Walmarts anymore. There's like, I don't even know a Walmart around here where you're allowed to park. Like, they arrest you. They, like, it's It's not a good situation. And, you know, so maybe we know the drama. Maybe we should talk about some of the things that we can do to help ourselves get out of homelessness, right?
Yeah. Well, what I suggest, and my team, I also want to add Morgan and Morgan, the program director, and Vitani, our case manager at Stephen's house. You know, we have different ways of approaching that sort of thing. Me, I keep it simple. You know, bottom line is, you know, there is housing, and it's in the Bay Area. It's slowly getting better. But you know, it's kind of like in life, you know, you kind of gotta go get yours. And some people are prone to doing that, and a lot aren't. And so you can only do so much, because, you know, it can be energy draining. But, you know, I know in my situation, you know, I got housing lists on my bulletin boards, and, you know, there's homeless, you know, I know in San Francisco and Oakland, there's, some homeless LGBT people that have opportunities to go there and pay maybe 30% of their income to live there. You know, that's a good thing. That's not too bad. And then there's others, opportunity to get out of the Bay Area, and, you know, when I can speak on that, do it, because, you know, it's very expensive here, and I'm sure it's the same in Seattle and L.A., New York, or whatever, but, you know, that's, you know, we try to help them focus on finding permanent housing. It isn't going to be what you want, but it beats the alternative, you know, at least the way I perceive it. And, you know, I occasionally go to the housing workshops and learn, you know, what it takes to do that, but, you know, without complicating it, it's just bottom line, you know, you gotta go get yours. There are opportunities. And I learned that being in drug court, you know, almost 21 years ago, you know, the system helped me, and I've been sober since. I'll have 21 years in April. So, you know, there is help for that sort of thing. California, for its good and its bad, at least there's that.
I watched on South Park, you know, once that California is really cool to be homeless.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
California.
You know, thank you, Tupac.
It's really cool to the homeless. California, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it depends on the person and, you know, the needs that they need.
That's not, like, really a fair general statement to say, though, because there's other homeless camps being cleaned out and homeless people being arrested. And even when I did that homeless one on Skid Row that I have on my hard drive, like, we watch them arrest somebody right there, like, in the same place that they dropped them off at, and then tell them they're not allowed to sit down. So it's not... You know, I'm glad you're there, but it's not a general rule. Like, don't just go to California because you're homeless, or don't go to, you know.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So, maybe, since we're coming up here on 2 hours, I think I should schedule this as another show to kind of talk about my methods out of homelessness, because you and I did it a different way, and my advice is pretty much the opposite,
because I did it the
opposite, so that's all I know. The system-based way didn't work for me, but I also, you know, I learned right off to not give it much of a chance to even try. And, you know, what would I have done with my van or all my belongings or my dog or my, you know what I mean? My,
in that, yeah.
It just, it wouldn't work. So
yeah.
I did it a different way that I think I'll just schedule a show to talk about again. And, you know, even tips, like what kind of tips do you have for people, Casey, that may be homeless right now? I mean, besides going and seeking out a place like you are blessed to work, but any,
yeah.
You know, because like for me, the number one was don't let anybody know because it ruins all your chances
yeah.
for everything. But, you know, which
yeah.
I can elaborate in a different show. But do you have any other advice? Like what kept you going? What kept you waking up to try again the next day?
I just kept pushing forward, not knowing what would happen. And I speak of that in the time I was in the shelter, men, hell, even on the luxurious couch tour. You know, you know, everybody's different. And I kind of understand why people don't want to do it. You got to toe the line in many ways. And, but, you know, sometimes you got to go through a little hell to get your heaven. And, you know, as far as that goes, find what works for you.
Right.
You know, that's all I can really say about that. Cause it's a question that, like you said, you need another show to do it.
It's such a personal thing. Right.
Yeah. It is personal, totally.
Yeah.
And that's what I suggest.
Because, yeah. like, while our journeys were similar, right, they were still vastly different. And I had to go
yeah.
things a different way than you, and you had to go things a different way than me, and somebody somewhere
mm-hmm.
else is going to have to go a different way than both of us. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, I guess my second piece of advice would be flexible. So, number one, don't let anyone
yeah.
know. Number two, be flexible. Because,
yeah,
you know, the
yeah.
harder we hold on to our idea of something, the harder it is. And sometimes that's not exactly
yeah.
what we need. And you know, when I came here, I tried to do things the right way in the system way, right? And people were almost like threatening me with it. Well, if you don't do it, then we're going to think you're crazy and then we're going to make you do it. So, you know, it was like, oh, okay. So I have to seek help so you don't force your idea of help, which is torture, upon me. Okay, so I did try,
yeah.
and I got, like, medical insurance, and I applied for, like, the state, you know, disability thing, which is 197, woohoo, which got canceled when I ended up in the hospital with you in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. yeah.
All right.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what? So we could either go a couple minutes late, or we could just say it's time. I mean, I did start the show a couple minutes late. And to my knowledge, there's nothing coming on after. That's the benefit of learning to push the right buttons. I can go whenever and take a break whenever, provided somebody else
yeah.
isn't here. And it's just Tuesday. So I don't know if you
yeah.
have any questions in the chat or want to call in or you want to hear more, or we should just bag it. And, you know, I do need to readdress this topic, though, because I did say that I wanted to talk about some survival techniques I learned along the way. And, yeah, but, and a lot of people have asked me for advice, and even people before they went homeless, or I'm about to go homeless, or what can I do? And, you know, I can pretty much sum mine up because I talk it in the videos all the time. But as I stated before, I had to go the opposite way of Casey. I chose to not beat my head against a brick wall trying to get a system to care about me that proved they didn't. I stopped you know, believing that people cared about me when their actions made very clear they didn't. And I knew that nature and getting in touch deeper with myself was the only thing that could answer those questions that I left, you know, for that 30 days to answer. So I chose to go where my heart told me, not where it was convenient and not where it was inexpensive. I chose to follow my dreams again, and I fought very hard to be here, and I thought that, you know, maybe I really shouldn't, but I was supposed to be here, and it worked out, everything worked out exactly as it was supposed to. But for me, you know, people were like, well, why don't you just get a hotel like a normal person? Or why don't, you know, I'm like, you don't understand, because sometimes we have our own journey with our own destiny, our own soul path, our own reasons that sometimes we can't explain. And there was a time where I had to cut more and more people off because I didn't need your opinions. I didn't need to know what you would do because you're not me. And I had a different motivation for everything I did. So I had to do what I had to do, or I would not be me today. There was not one single time where I tried being dependent upon someone else that I was happy. There was not one single time that worked out for me. Not even renting places or taking these better than perfect jobs like the fake B&B, or, you know, none of those things would have been to my benefit. So even that, well, how could you run from that? You're living in this paradise. Like, what's your problem? My problem is that I know myself enough to know what I'm here for and what I will tolerate and what I will not tolerate. And I also know that tolerating parasitic, vampiric relationships kills my soul, which deteriorates my physical health and then renders me completely useless on all levels. So it's, you know what I mean? Like, these people thought, and, you know, they took advantage or tried to, of a vulnerable, I was being traumatized full time. So obviously when, you know, this other situation appears to seemingly rescue me from the last one right in the nick of time, it's like, of course you have to go there. Because I had to go somewhere anyways. And so, right? But at the same time, it sharpened my sword the whole way. My intuition. It taught me that I was always right. My intuition was always right. It also taught me how to stay a step or five or 10 steps ahead. And, you know, I mentioned TIs and stuff like that and the questions they're asking. I'm going to ask you a question. Man, if you've been stalked for 10 or 15 years, I'm talking to TIs. If you've been stalked for 10 or 15 years and you still haven't learned something, like how to stay a step ahead or how to protect yourself by now, dude, seriously? Like, I can't sympathize. I can't, because I did it. I did it in a wheelchair with two children with no income. And then I had my family destroyed, my children taken away. I was turned into a racist, child abusing, domestic terrorist, facing 56 years in prison, lost my ability to talk and walk, no income, being slandered everywhere, chased out of town. Like, and I did it. I found a way. Okay? There are no more excuses, really. It's great to feel the pain, to feel the grief, to feel the rage, the abandonment, the fear, all of that. feel it, but you still have to keep moving forward. You have to stop blaming other people, okay? Yeah, there's assholes. Yeah, they're going to hurt you. Yeah, they screwed you over, okay? But, again, they are your teachers. They are our testers to help us refine our skills. How much do you believe your own bullshit? Really? So, really, I think all of these people, because they helped me test my skills. I would not have these skills. I would just think I had them, right? Now I know, and that can't ever be taken away. So, again, you got two ways to look at things. This is the most terrible thing in the world. Everybody's out to get me. And you know what? Maybe they are. Maybe they really are. But that is no reason for you to stop. That is no reason for you to follow, to not follow your heart. That is no reason for you to do what it takes to make your heart sing. Like I've talked about in my videos, you should. If you're not, like, wherever you are, looking around saying, oh my God, I live here. I am so grateful. If you're not doing that, then you're in the wrong place. Okay? So you need to do whatever you need to do to get there. Even if you have to live in a tent, even if you have to live in a shelter, even if you have to live in a van. There's no excuses. There's no people can only hold you back as far as you think you can be held back. Okay? And it's really time to understand that, because as I mentioned earlier, the training wheels are off. Not just here for the show and me running the equipment. Okay? I'm talking on a much grander scheme here. Astrologically, which, by the way, we're going to talk about tomorrow night with the peace dealer. And I don't know any other guy that has more insights into the true spiritual war. So, you know, I'm just going to say this right now. If you're going to tune in tonight, I'm going to ask you right now. If you do not know your chart, find it out. Why? So you can understand what he's saying, number one. And all you have to do, just go to astro.com, put in your birthday, and get a free, you know, just know where your planets are. That's all you need to know. Nobody's asking you to be an astrologer or anything, but just know so that when we're saying Venus in the fifth house or whatever, you know what that means. And we'll talk about all of that tomorrow and why. But really, astrologically and every way, homelessness we talked about tonight, like every politics, it doesn't matter what subject you bring up. Things are not getting better. They are not getting easier. And it is time to put the pedal to the metal. Stop making the excuses. Look at your challenges as opportunities for growth to see what you're really made of. Because if you do believe any of your own bullshit and you're listening to my show, I mean, you're not just some person that thinks that, oh, yeah, life, you go to work and pay your bills and then you die and that's all there is. There's no way you're listening to my show, okay? So you obviously know that there's something more to life and it's up to you to live it. Only you. Nobody else is going to, like, knock on your door and say, yo diggity, I love what you have in your heart that you've never expressed. So I just want to, like, pave this little wave for you. In fact, I brought this red carpet with me that I'm just going to roll out right here beneath your feet, feed you grapes, and, like, top it with rose petals. It is never going to happen like that. Ever! You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to take risks. You're going to have to be okay with being shamed. You're going to have to be okay with being ridiculed. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to face your fears. You're going to have to speak when you're afraid to, right, Casey? Or, you know, like,
yeah,
we all, whatever that is in your life that you think is holding you back, only you can find the way to overcome it. And all paths aren't the same. Look at Casey, look at me. Same path, same timing, the same crazy disasters, the same amount of people dying, the same, you know, like the same thing, but totally different. And we got out two totally different ways. So none of us are like right, like I'm righter than you, man, want to fight. It's this is the only way. It's not like that. So the key is to find out what makes your heart sing, to trust yourself and what feels right on your path. And okay, it's 9:11. I just looked at the clock, so it must be time to shut up.
Well, yeah, thanks for allowing me this opportunity to speak how it worked for me, and you know, thank you. I appreciate it, and I love you.
I am so grateful that you were here to share, and I am so proud of you, and I think it is so awesome that you are in the place you're at with the people you're at doing what you do best. It just tickles me, and yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, darling.
Yeehaw!
Okay.
All right, good night.
All right. Good night.
That is so awesome. I just, what a crazy ride we've all had. And, you know, I mentioned last week in my first show back that I wanted to do kind of like real life heroes series and talk with people who have overcome challenges. And, you know, Casey is a real life hero. And of course we're going to get Chuck on. He's a real life hero. I know a lot of real life heroes, and I'm so excited to just bring real life journeys of tragedy and triumph. You know, eventually we're all going to get the picture that this is just our game. You know, it's here for us to, for our benefit, literally. So with that, I'm going to push some more buttons and hope everything works. And I want to thank you all for being here tonight. It's always a pleasure, and it's an honor, really, that you have chosen to spend your time with me doing one of my favorite things, that's running my mouth. and I'm not getting any better at it. And I probably never will be. But it's me, and it's fun, and it feeds my soul. It feeds my heart. And it really became apparent to me in my homelessness that this is why. Like, when Spirit told me to start sharing, even despite how embarrassed and ashamed and beat up and traumatized I was, now I know. Everything makes sense, and I'm just so grateful to have been able to be in the places I have been, to be blessed and bless those who also needed it in their time. So yeah, I want to thank you again. Tomorrow night, we're going to be joined by the Peace Dealer, okay? And oh my God, he is awesome. So thepeacedealer.com is his website. You can also find him on YouTube and check it out. Like I said, if you plan on joining us tomorrow and you do not know your chart or your planets, and even if you don't even understand why, just go to astro.com or any place. Just find out what your planets are, just so that what we talk about tomorrow can help you understand its influence in your life. And there's a lot going on. So thank you so very much. In fact, there it is. I just put the show promo in the website, or the text chat. I'm learning the language. But yeah, thank you again for being here. And I will see you tomorrow night. The Christy Aphrodite Show. Shut the hell up! All right, good night.
I look down. I look all around this town. I look left. I look right. It's like some fairy tale tonight. It's a one in a million.
there. We played almost everywhere. We felt sun, we felt rain, sometimes even feeling pain. But it's a one in a million place to be, and that's just how it seems. Even in my dreams, that's just how it seems to me.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you, listeners, I bought some of that Modifilan from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles are just really, really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
This presidential election is brought to you by Diebold. You don't count because we don't count.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee, along with the Democratic National Committee, which are wholly owned subsidiaries of Worldwide Globalist Bastards and Gold.
I like running, but I don't go far. I like the song on my old guitar. I like warm days in the sun. I don't bother anyone. I like the slow drive in my truck. I like a blizzard if I don't get stuck. I like a lady who's sweet and warm. I like a lady in uniform. I like all of the good things that I see. But mostly I like sitting in my train. I like money and I like my beer. I like to love and shed a tear. I like an old dog licking my face. I like my own stone fireplace. I like fishing in the pouring rain. I like fighting if I don't feel pain. I like eating until I'm full. I don't like running from that old black bull. I like all of the good things that I see. But mostly I like sitting in my tree. I like running but I don't go far. I like the song on my old guitar. I like warm days in the sun. I don't bother anyone. I like all of the good things that I see. But mostly I like sitting in my tree. In my tree. In my tree. Mostly I like sitting in my tree.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.